suppose that for just about every single one of us, as we look back over this past year, there's a lot of things, a lot of emotions that have struck us about things that we have done. Let's go back though in our minds all the way to January, if you would. January of 2020, a year ago, just about last week. You know, it's a common thing for us that whenever we come to the last Sunday of the year, we reflect on things that we have talked about, a pattern or a purpose that we might have chosen. And you might remember that way back in January of this year, at the very beginning, we said we wanted to have a particular purpose and pattern to our teaching and to our lessons and to the things that we would be talking about. Do you remember what that was? I see a lot of heads nodding. I appreciate that. I think you probably do. Because we looked at one of the most important things that a church is purposed to accomplish, that is to edify and to encourage one another. And so what we did was we said, what if we spend the year 2020 trying to grow ourselves in an area that we need growth in? That is our affection, our love, our service for one another. And we started talking about those one another commandments, right? And we had made ourselves committed to the idea that we would spend Sunday evenings talking about one another, the different passages. We talked about how, in fact, there's over 50 commandments in the New Testament. To a Christian, how his behavior is to be towards those others who are with him in Christ, his brethren, so to speak, those with whom he has fellowship, and the various one another commandments that are given by all of the different writers of the New Testament. Love one another, bear with one another, pray for one another, forgive one another. All these different statements that we examined and we looked at. We wanted to say that we knew that if we could study these things, if we could all focus a little bit of our time on fulfilling these important commandments, we would grow ourselves. As I said, it was an area of opportunity that we had, that we could become more for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We wanted to grow ourselves in what we're doing because we know we need to. We know that we can't just be complacent with our behavior, that fundamentally one of the most important ideas about spiritual maturity is that spiritual maturity is marked by the moment when we cease to think about ourselves and we begin to commit our minds to one another. It's kind of interesting how that is because it's kind of like physical maturity. You know, by and large, one of the remarkable statements of adolescence growing into adulthood is that you cease to see yourself as merely the center of the universe, but you begin to appreciate that there are other people and they have minds and they think like we do and that we are, in fact, not the center of the universe. Spiritually, it's true, too. You're spiritually mature when you cease to think of the church as doing things for you. When you cease to be obsessed with the idea of what others can do for you, and it begins to be a conversation of the desire to do things for others. Indeed, we often looked at the passage of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, to bear each other's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ. And we said, this is a worthy thing for us to consider. Now then I ask you, how long did that last? Because it wasn't too long before our year made some changes for us that none of us really were predicting. None of us really saw coming. Of course, we understand what this year brought us. And when you listen to what the world talks about, I was watching the news this morning and they were doing the year in review, the last Sunday of the year, and they were talking about the year. And it was all the bad things, the things that had really caused these great and terrible moments for people. Worry. Now, you didn't use that word too often, but I'd say worry was probably the biggest one. Worry, but let's add to this stress. Worry and stress. Because for the first time for a lot of us, we were facing something that was absolutely changing our world, and it worried us. If you weren't worried about it, like I said, it was the kind of thing that everybody had some degree of concern or thought about it. Not the same, of course. But everybody was concerned about this, or maybe some of the issues that came along with these things. as a church. We were having to answer important questions about what were we going to do? What kind of problems would come up with our worship together? And a lot of the brethren here had a lot of concern about that. What are we going to do? How are things going to be affected? And we tried our best to equip everybody to be able to answer those things, but it wasn't easy because there was a lot of worry. In the world around us, that really defines the world, right? A world of worry and stress about whether they're losing something or whether they'll sick, whether they'll die. That's an obsession that the world has had. The stress of confinement, that was brutal. You know, I like to watch shows sometimes, science fiction, about astronauts that are stuck on planets all by themselves and how they can spend months alone. And oftentimes in those stories, the astronaut comes apart into suffering. Some of our brethren went through this very thing. Some of you this morning, you went through this very thing. You know, if you were confined all by yourself, you didn't have family, that was an isolation that was brutal. We were afraid that in this confinement we were losing our freedom, you know, our freedom to go around and to do the things we wanted to do. We just couldn't see those things happening. We were afraid we were in those confinements. We were afraid we were actually losing liberty that as citizens, in fact. That worried lots of people. There were protests about those kinds of things. That was something the world was focused on, obsessed about. Losing vacations. A lot of us here, me too, had airline tickets to different places, had plans to go do things, had all sorts of things that they wanted to do, that they were going to relax. Most of us, or none of us really, got a vacation from work. But we certainly didn't get to do the things that oftentimes we use to relax us or to recreate ourselves. Those things were lost to us. And of course, there were struggles to that because maybe it wasn't a vacation for work, but you know, some of us lost our jobs. Others of us lost parts of our jobs, or our jobs changed and we were dramatically, maybe financially hit by those changes. A number of us suffered terribly from these things. It was an emotionally brutal year. And when you look at the world, those things are something that the world was just completely overwhelmed by. And maybe the biggest thing was just that this was different, right? This was an absolutely different year. Even if all this the sickness hadn't come, what about all the political unrest? I mean, the election this year was really a stressful thing. There was an impeachment. There was all sorts of things in the news all the time, and you're scared to talk about those things sometimes. That's how the world saw things. We had to change so much. You know, I can't remember who it was. It might have been one of my kids that made the comment. They said, you know, years from now, we'll look back at this year and we'll tell people that weren't here, our children or whoever it might be, we'll say one of two things. We'll either say, you know, 2020 was a different experience than anything that you ever saw. Or we'll say the year before was different because from now on, things are like this. I thought, yeah, that's right. However it is, this is going to be the thing that we'll talk about for a long time. Now, I need to say something really important, so I want you to listen very carefully. We who are in Christ, we're supposed to be different than the world. I think that's, you know, that's Bible 101. That's a fundamental of our faith. That's something that I say nobody here should be surprised to hear. We're supposed to think differently and behave differently than people who are not in Christ. And moments like the ones that we've gone through this year are actually the moments where those differences are supposed to be the most visible, the most obvious. And so this is an important thing to think about for a few minutes this morning. How is it that this year was different for us? And it was. And again, we have to put on that mind of Christ to understand what we're saying here. That this year was very different for those of us who are in Christ. You see, the world's going to talk about this year, and you're going to hear the world just say, this was the worst thing ever. but for those in Christ, let me say something dramatic. It wasn't. It actually brought about a number of good things. I want to remind you of that. In the context especially of the very thing that we started this year to approach. Because when it came along that we lost our opportunities, some of our opportunities anyway, to gather together, to have our certain studies together, we had to change things all around. We actually were gifted by God an opportunity to actually fulfill the very purposes that we were given. Let's look at it like this. I think probably all of us would think of this first one as an obvious choice of what made this year good for us. It was a time that we got our faith tested. We got our faith put to the test. Don't you want to know if your faith is genuine? The Bible talks a lot about genuine faith. It talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, it says you need to test yourself. You need to examine yourself. And I hope that's something we're all mindful of. I don't want to have fake faith. I want real faith. Because if I stand before God on the day of judgment and he says, it wasn't real, Brian, you thought, remember, Jesus said a lot of people are going to stand before God on the day of judgment. He's going to, Matthew 7, he's going to tell them, you really weren't in the faith. Lots of people are going to hear that. I'd like to know that ahead of time. And this was my chance. This was your chance to find out what kind of faith you have. Think about what James said. You remember this one, right? Because it's one of those statements in the Bible that you have to read twice because it's so shocking. I've always thought this is amazing. James actually starts his letter off this way by saying, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Well, these last months have been trials, for sure. And to the world, trials are a bitter, bitter pill. But James says, wait a second. If you're in the mind of Christ, what did you see happen? What really happened for you? He said, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And then he goes on to say, patience can have its perfect work. He says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Do you want to go to heaven? I think everybody here would say, yeah, I want to go to heaven. Well, then what you want to appreciate is that you need to know if your faith is genuine. And sometimes that means you need to go through a test and a trial. Peter says the exact same thing in 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. He says, in this you greatly rejoice. In what? Well, he's describing trials and being put to the test. Though for now, a little while, if it need be, you have been grieved by various trials. I like the way Peter says it a little better because Peter's acknowledging, it doesn't mean you're supposed to say, oh, this is so great. But you're supposed to appreciate the importance of what's happening. He says that the genuineness of your faith, which he goes on to say is much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the resurrection, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You get what he said there? He said, you know what? We need your faith tested so that you can know that it's worth giving to Christ when he returns. We were put to the test. And our test was, number one, we had to make a lot of choices about who we were going to be, both as a church and as individual Christians, and the things that we were going to do. Were we going to commit to God and put a lot of trust in Him? Or would we, like the world, walk in fear? And that's an important point. And by the way, again, it's not to say there's nothing to fear. That would be silly. It's to say, what is my life really all about? You know, Christians have had to make some tough choices throughout history. Choices that whenever, the Roman government might have arrested somebody and said, hey, are you a Christian? And all you'd have to say is no, and they'd let you go. But if you said yes, something terrible would happen. And they had to make a bitter choice in that moment. Do I give the government what they want? Do I give them that statement and then with my freedom deny Christ, or do I choose my faith over this? Do I trust God or not? One of the things that I learned this year, something I'd never thought about before, was how important it is to worship God. And that term that had become such a common thing, that which is an essential service, I appreciated as I'd never had before, how essential we are to our community. Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth." He says, "If the salt loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing. You're the light of the world. You're like a city on a hill." He says, "The world is looking at you." And we have to be different. We have to have an attitude that's different. We have to have a mindset that's different. We have to have a decision that says, you know, worshiping God is important. Even when the world says, no, it's not. That's a hobby. I remember once years ago, I worked for somebody and he wanted more out of me. And one of the things that was coming into focus there was the fact that I was my worship of God at church. And he says, you know, you need to pass on these hobbies and commit yourself to your work. And I quit my job. Because what was more important? For the first time for some of us, not for all of us and not the last time, but for the first time for some of us, we were really put in a position where we had to say, just how much do I trust God? Just how dedicated am I to the things God has given me? And that was a good thing. That was a good question to ask. It was good to put ourselves to that test. Our commitment to one another was tested. If we had begun this year, and talked about the things we talked about, our growing our relationship with one another, one of the things that we could have lamented was the fact that we wouldn't really have an opportunity to know how effective we are, and yet suddenly that opportunity arose. But it wasn't just that opportunity. It became an opportunity to stretch ourselves and to see just how well we would fulfill the commandments that speak to our being patient with one another. Remember some of those commandments that we talked about over time over this last year? Hebrews 10:24, consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We spent a Sunday talking about that. Submit to one another. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, he was talking to various groups. He says, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. And then he says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed in humility. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. In Colossians 3, we talked about how Paul said to bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Now, this was important. You know, we talk about this one a lot because there's a lot of times where we get caught up in the conversations of the world. And there were plenty of conversations in the world to get caught up in this year, right? There were lots of things that the world got caught up in and got obsessed with. And it was easy for us to get drawn into those conversations. Our test was, number one, when my brethren had a different view of things going on here, could I put that aside and say, I can accept one another, I can be patient with one another, I can hold my tongue with one another, I can, you know, we talk a lot about how important it is that we control our opinions. We'll hear more sermons on that, I promise you. Because that's an important one, to control our opinions. And maybe another way to put it is to realize our opinions maybe aren't as valuable as we think they are. But we had to accept people that had views that sometimes we thought, you're out of your mind. What do you mean? And all the different things going on right now, whether it was this sickness, whether it was protests, whether it was politics, all the different views that we had right now, those were a fantastic opportunity for us to say, you know what? My fellowship, my relationship with you is far too important to risk offending on what Paul would have talked about in things like, you know, endless genealogies, needless arguments over words. He had lots of different ways of describing a lot of the things that people had to say to one another. Our test was to yield to one another and to the body of Christ. You know, someone might say, you know what, I don't like wearing a mask. I don't like wearing a mask. But this was a fantastic opportunity for me to yield to those that do. And I was glad to do that. To change our times of worship. Maybe that wasn't always easy, but I was glad to do that. To get a chance to yield to somebody else. Maybe I didn't say this, maybe somebody else said this. You know what, I don't like the fact that some of these brethren are a little too touchy. It really makes me uncomfortable. But I'm glad to have the opportunity to yield to the fact that they may not realize how I feel about that and to let that go. You know, you can teach on it all day. You can say, hey, you need to accept each other. You need to bear with one another. But until the moment comes where you actually are given the opportunity to carry that out, it's all academic. And suddenly this year said, here's your chance. Here's your chance to hold your thoughts. Here's your